Welcome back to the Hollywood Casino Press Box featuring Frank Cusimano and Martin Kilcoyne on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Baby, you're fine. There's only one love, yours and mine.
Oh, yeah, I did that for you, Frank.
Come on now, let that music play.
Mm-hmm. And you like that, though? Can you dance?
Oh, my God. You know I can dance.
Get on that dance.
Let me see you do so. Get on the chair. Don't do it on the floor.
You got an open floor?
Frank.
No. Frank can't help you dance.
My dancing ability.
I can't dance.
It's probably top five in St. Louis, honestly, if they were to rank it. My dancing, I have. You've seen
hold
me
on,
dance
hold
before.
Hold on. Stop.
At what conference are you in, Strick?
Martin Kilcoyne and I can go back to the Ritz. Martin Kilcoyne and I can go back to the Ritz-Carlton about 10 years ago. We go to a nice party there. I won't tell you what kind of party it was. I mean, nothing illegal. So Andy goes and we get some drinks. They thought their drinks were free, by the way, him and Martin. No, it's not an open bar. I had to pay for it.
Of course.
So he goes
Charlie,
on the dance
Charlie
floor.
Charlie invites
Hold
us
on.
To the party that it's a cash bar. Okay?
Well, those are the kind of parties
Strick,
I go to.
Strick Nasty goes to open bar.
He goes to the bar and orders everything on the menu. So he goes out on the dance floor. It was a brother party, let's say that. He goes out on the dance floor with a drink. Trying to dance and waste a drink on another guy.
What do you mean?
You wasted the drink on the guy. You bumped all into the guy.
I dropped my glass.
Oh, my God.
Was he?
No, he wasn't.
Have you ever seen him dance, by the way?
Oh, I can dance.
Typical slide, that's all.
Let's also not just assume that Martin didn't know it was a cash bar and just didn't care.
Right,
yeah.
Martin.
Drank
yeah.
as if it were an open
bar. He's Chuck, can you take care of this?
No, I ordered the drinks. Took the drinks, and Martin was there. Martin paid for the drinks.
Would you agree that white men are not great dancers in general?
I don't want to have people texting that I'm in the race.
Oh, no, this is the one I want you to take a stand on,
never.
Okay?
Hell no, white men can't dance.
You're right.
They can't jump or dance. Except
there's Denny Terrio.
And Justin Timberlake.
Timberlake, that's two.
And Travolta took a dance back in the day.
But he danced
Travolta,
like,
that's three.
But Timberlake dances like a white guy, too.
No,
Fred Astaire was a pretty good one.
Gene Kelly
and Fred Astaire.
But, I mean, we're talking like, you know, under 10.
But
and then
best,
if Andy's in that list.
I'm
but
in
the
that
best
list.
Video ever was Fred Astaire walking up that wall.
My dancing ability is closer to what you would find with, like, Timberlake, for example.
Oh, you can dance like Justin Timberlake.
Oh, yeah.
Mick Jagger could dance.
What?
Mick Jagger.
I mean, we're going way back.
The Rolling Stones.
He did that special kind of dance. I'm talking about getting down dancing, man. Sliding.
She knows.
She probably got bruises where you bump into her. I'm talking about doing a split, doing a James. I used to pay to do a split. Couldn't do it now. I couldn't get back up. I'm talking about getting down dancing.
Charlie.
Get down dancing.
Is that when you'd come out when
come
you were
out
performing?
On, when I perform, I could do a split, could do it all.
And what
could
was the outfit again? Was it a white outfit? Or?
Well, my main outfit was white tails.
And there's no proof of this, by the way.
Yeah, I got proof.
I think there was one picture.
There was a picture because it was in the TV guide.
I was in the TV guide every week. Your school newspaper.
No.
I got a guy that emails me a lot, and he's a big fan of yours, actually. I don't know why. But he
is he from Atlanta?
He says he would give anything to have you back on stage one more time.
It's coming up. I'm telling you.
When?
This is the year.
Tell us.
This is the year. This fall. It's coming up.
Where? When?
I'm going to be a bad
How about
SOB.
This? The Rams are having this reunion.
20-year reunion, yeah.
Yeah. How about if you, like, perform there?
No.
Oh, my God.
Only if John Shaw says.
That would be about as good as Howard Balzer's rendition of the National
Anthem. Oh, I need to tell you what happened.
At a Rams game.
Skip Webber had his annual 4th of July party last week.
Mm-hmm.
So Howard's there with Bernie. You know, Howard, we were sitting on the corner, and I heard somebody sing, like, what the hell is that? It was Howard, karaoke, and he had a... Skip Webber has a karaoke machine where, you know, you can see the words and lyrics. So they talk me into singing My Girl with Skip Webber and Howard.
Mm.
The women just ran up to the by the pool to watch.
Because of Howard? Or?
Because of me. It was like, oh, my God, I'm back on stage again.
Hey, last time I saw you on a stage.
Oh, my goodness.
You fell off.
That was a radio show on O'Fallon, right?
Yes.
No.
That was Top Shooters.
Oh, that was, no,
Columbia.
Somebody pulled a chair.
And he had this little nick on his thumb and had a little bit of blood coming out. You would have thought he needed to go to the hospital, emergency room.
That was tough.
I mean, I can't believe how soft you were.
That was the day we knew Chuck was really old because everyone went, oh, my God, are you okay?
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Like, if you're 25 and fall, you laugh.
I fell out about two stories.
I said it to Frank. I said, you know, when you're older, you have that one fall.
Yeah, the
beginning of the end.
It was like two stories.
Have a walker.
You know, you started walking slowly after that, I noticed. That's when the slow trots to the radio.
You wouldn't have forgotten a Houston Rocket player's name back before that.
I was going to bring you some tennis balls for your new walker.
Get those green ones.
Couple quick Blues thoughts. Mm-hmm. What about Jordan Binnington in the contract?
They're talking right now. Obviously, he's got a arbitration hearing scheduled for July 20th. We'll see if it gets there. I think the two sides are most likely going to close in on a one-year deal. That's my guess in terms of where this thing plays out or how it plays out, is that Binnington will likely either agree to a one-year contract prior to arbitration. If it goes to arbitration, the team will likely select a one-year award, and that's where it's going
to
stand.
What do you think that could be roughly, if you had to guess?
I think somewhere between $4.5 and $5 million.
Wow.
I think somewhere in that range. You know, in that five, I'll just say the $5 million range.
And what did he make last year, roughly?
Slightly either under or above. $700,000 prorated.
Okay. And would they have his rights the following year?
Correct.
One more year after
this? Yeah, one more year. So he's 2 years away from unrestricted free agency. I think that's a little bit of the danger or maybe a little bit of the concern.
So it really makes sense to give him one year now.
If you agree to a two-year contract, you know, you can walk him right up to unrestricted free agency. You know, but at the same time, you know, he could get qualified off of that number at the end of next season based on what he makes next season. So there's still a lot of moving parts in play, and who knows? They still could agree to a 2 or 3 year deal.
I think
a 1 year deal is most likely.
Yeah, that makes sense, because if then you see a full year and then give him the longer deal.
Yeah.
Okay, what about Pat Maroon?
Pat Maroon's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. I mean, this obviously has gone longer than he would have liked. There's been some talk about him getting 1 year offers. I'm not so sure he's getting legitimate offers right now. I don't mean that in a negative way. I think teams right now are looking at their roster. Either they don't have cap space or they have restricted free agents who they need to sign. And once they get through those restricted free agents, they can determine how much money they have and then maybe circle back to Pat Maroon and determine if they want to bring him on board. But, you know, people are reporting about offers. I think that's a little aggressive in terms of the terminology. I'm not so sure we have significant offers being made to Pat Maroon. But that doesn't mean anything in a negative sense whatsoever. I think the reality is with Pat Maroon, I think he will get a deal, but it's going to take some time. Obviously, he's being very, very patient, testing his patience, something that is difficult for a player who just came off a Stanley Cup championship.
You know, Andy, in other sports, a lot of times when a team wins a Super Bowl or the NBA championship, they'll upgrade the team no matter what if they've won. Mm-hmm. Is there a major move coming with the Blues on the team or in the front office?
No, I don't think so. They could add a coach. I've said that before, that they may look to add an experienced coach. Not that they need an experienced coach on the staff. They just won the Stanley Cup. But they may look to add another coach. Obviously, you fired Mike Yeo. They didn't bring another coach on board. They may look to add another coach. We'll see how that plays out. But in terms of the roster, I think they like their roster. They still have to sign Joel Edmondson. They've got to sign Ivan Barbashev. They've got to sign Oscar Sundqvist. I mean, these guys are all becoming, core players moving forward for this hockey team. But there's always a chance of a trade. You can never predict trades or forecast trades. So if you're seeing a significant upgrade or significant movement through trade, that's always possible, although probably a little bit unlikely.
What about Robert Fabry?
He's up as well. So they got to make a decision what they want to do there. And, yeah, I would imagine they already qualify. I imagine they'll sign him to a short-term deal, and he'll be back as well.
Percentage odds right now of Pat Maroon being in a Blues uniform next season. Gut feel. Don't hedge.
You know what?
Here we go, Charlie.
Listen, the longer this goes, part of me wants to believe that maybe it increases his chances of coming back, because obviously, I mean, it would be a significant pay cut. But right now, I put that number at somewhere under 15%.
Listen, Ed Sullivan, just answer the question.
All right, he did. He eventually got there.
That's good. I took it down.
All right, Chuck, the baseball season resumes. Interesting article today by Derek Gould, The Five Cardinals Who Must Thrive. And I thought it was kind of fascinating that one of them was John Mozeliak. It was Paul Goldschmidt, John Mozeliak, Carlos Martinez, Miles Michaelis, and the leadoff spot, whoever is in that spot.
Andy and I almost mentioned this about Goldsmith at the beginning of the season.
We did. At the time of the trade. You agree with me, Brian Hoffman. I said, listen.
I'm going to tell you what.
I don't know much about this guy. I read his Wikipedia page, obviously.
And, there you go.
And
but don't believe everything
on
that Facebook.
Numbers,
so much for OPS.
His numbers were trending down. They weren't getting a guy who was trending up. There's a reason why Arizona chose to let him go. And not that it was a major concern. Obviously, he's a good player, but I'm not shocked that he's not tearing it up.
It's like in pro football. Whenever you can get the team's left tackle, starting left tackle, something's wrong. Mm-hmm. But the one guy that's starting to look pretty good right now is Mike Matheny. Now you look back and say, hey, maybe this wasn't all Mike Matheny's fault.
You're right. It's interesting. We had a great text the other day that said, if this were Matheny's team, everybody would be playing Matheny. And now, instead, everybody is blaming Mozeliak.
Right.
And, you know, last year when Mike Schill took over, everyone was like, oh, this is the greatest guy ever. He explains all his decisions. He's the nicest guy. You know, that told me right then and there that there was a personal issue and a personal barrier
with Mike
between a lot of the media and Mike Matheny. And obviously Mike Schill, never been in this position before, probably made things a little more comfortable for a lot of the media who's covering the team. And, listen, that can be important, but at the end of the day, it comes down to wins and losses.
Truthfully. Frank, when you and Martin go in to talk to Schulte, does he look like he's under pressure, or is he still pretty cool?
No, he's still pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he doesn't look rattled.
But you guys don't bring in the hardball questions all the time out of respect, or it's just St. Louis market.
I'm not asking what needs to be asked. We're not trying to persecute the guy. See, here's the thing.
Why did you leave that guy in that long? I never hear those kind of questions.
Oh, he gets those questions all the time. But you don't have to ask it in a threatening way. So what was your thinking in leaving in Brebby in the seventh when he was struggling? Isn't that the way to
Charlie
ask the question?
Charlie acts like he would come in there. Yeah.
No, I would not do that. The man is your guest. You don't coin that. This is New York or Chicago.
Well, you want
and Charlie,
to be.
You can get a much better I heard a great podcast with who's the shooter from Duke?
J.J.
Redick. Okay. He talked about how he goes, I give great answers. Okay. When I go 9 for 12, but he goes, when I'm 2 for 12, the reporter has got to be smarter about the way he asks the question. I mean, get the question out, but when I'm 2 for 12, I'm going to be a little less reluctant to give a thoughtful answer. So in the interviewer situation is, the point is to get a response and to get your guy's feelings.
But is the manager's personality, because Tony La Russa, if you ask certain questions to him, he would bite at you.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
He would bite. Mm. And that's the kind of manager
of my
I
finger.
Like.
Can I tell you this, though? I watched the All-Star game, and I'm Wikipedia-ing, guys.
Did you fall asleep?
Who'd you learn about? Last year was Nolan Arenado. Who was this year?
That's who he discovered last year.
Last year he discovered Nolan Arenado watching the All-Star game.
Well, last year I was like, I don't understand why the Rockies don't win the World Series every year. The whole team's the Rockies. I mean, even Blackmon. Isn't it M-O-N?
What is it?
Yeah, but it's still Blackmon.
Charlie Blackmon.
With the big beard.
Blackmon. It's like a Jamaican. It's like a Jamaican.
Wait a minute.
It's Blackmon.
But it's not.
Like
no.
Chavez.
He's American.
Well, it's like a Jamaican. Jamaican man. Blackmon.
What?
He was a brother.
Okay. He's only been in the league for a few days.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. He hit a home run.
He was almost a Cardinal 2 years ago.
A couple times.
Nobody knows. Listen, nobody's ever heard of these kids. I don't see kids walking around with any baseball jerseys, T-shirts, unless it's a Cardinal. Here in St. Louis,
wait a minute.
But I don't ever see them wearing, like, when I was a kid, like, you would maybe have a T-shirt that represented a different team in Major League Baseball. I never see it ever.
Major League.
And I just get the sense kids don't know who these guys are, man. I mean,
think about it. The greatest player in the world, no doubt about it, is Mike Trout. And how many of us have actually ever heard a thoughtful Mike Trout interview? How many of you ever heard even Mike Trout sound?
When Pujols came to town the other week, we didn't even talk about Mike Trout.
A kid, you centered your day around watching the Major League Baseball All-Star Game. You never missed
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. On a
it was
night,
unbelievable. You could name the starting nine. You don't know who the hell these guys are.
Going way back when you had Mays, Mound, Aaron, Clemente.
Make it a little more
current. All these stories.
That was the 70s was the best year.
Best era of baseball. Baseball does not promote their players. And they don't have a helmet on. They got a cap on. They don't promote their players worth a D anymore. You don't even see players around here with caps on, except maybe a Cardinal cap and not a cap. And everybody's embarrassed to wear that now.
Baseball blames the players. That's the worst part.
Yeah, and I know.
It's so stupid.
You don't have, and I keep saying this, there's not one player on the Cardinal team I'm going to jump in my car. I think I'm going to drive down from Chesterfield to go see him play. Not one guy.
But you know what?
No marquee.
But I like Paul DeJong. He represented the Cardinals Interviewed him at a Blues game this past year. Really good guy.
Here we go back to
hockey.
Everything is hockey.
He is a good guy. He represents the Cardinals very well. I like him.
Yadier
Molina going crazy on Instagram.
Who do you think's more popular in our town, Yadier Molina or Ryan O'Reilly?
Molina.
Well, Yadier Molina is. But you know what? O'Reilly's getting there.
Yeah.
I mean, Ryan O'Reilly wins. The Blues win an ESPY the other day. And this guy represents the Blues as well as any player that's ever come through this town.
Ryan O'Reilly?
I mean, anybody. And to see him be the spokesperson for the city and the organization up there on a national stage, on national television, representing this organization, it just was like
a natural fit.
All right, let's take a short time out. We are brought to you by Bomberito. Looking for a car? Go to bomberito.com, search for their extensive inventory of new cars, pre-owned cars. They sell more cars than anybody in the state of Missouri. They've done it for 11 straight years, over 30,000 cars sold. Go to bomberito.com. We'll be right back. We're broadcasting live from Schnucks in O'Fallon, where the smoked ribs are about to come out.